Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
Dear you, you who have always had so many things to do, so many places to be, your mind spinning like fan blades at high speed, each moment always a blur because you're never still. I know you're tired. I also know it's not your fault. The constant brain buzz is like a swarm of bees threatening to sting you if you close your eyes. You've forgotten something again. You need to prepare for that or else. You should have done that differently. What if you closed your eyes? Would the world fall apart without you? Or would your mind become the open sky, flock of thoughts flying across the sunrise as you just watched and smiled? That's from a poem called Dear You by Kaveri Patel. And it's a great way to lead into today's topic, which is what the HR professional needs to know about mastering mindfulness. Our guest today is Lauren Smith. Lauren Smith is someone who I've known for a long time now. She was on my sister podcast, the Boss Builder podcast, a while back, talking about mindfulness. And so when we began HR Oxygen, I knew I had to have her back. And so she'll join us today, and she'll be talking to us about how we can incorporate some of the principles of mindfulness into our daily routines. We're going to talk about some things that I know you'll be able to relate to. The idea that you are a busy professional and everybody's pulling on you for your time, attention, and energy. And Lauren's going to give you some tips on how to manage that better. She's an author. She's a speaker. Her latest book is Mindful Love. And so without any further delay, let's go ahead and meet our special guest, Lauren Smith. Lauren Smith, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mac. Thanks for having me back. It's always great speaking with you.
Lauren, I've had you on my sister podcast, Boss Builder Podcast, and since then we have started a new one, which is HR Oxygen. And our audience for that one is the overwhelmed, overworked, overstressed, and underappreciated HR professional. And so when we started the podcast, you were on the top of the list of people I wanted to come back and to share some of your thoughts on mindfulness, on stress. I want you to talk about your book, Mindful Love. And so before we get to those questions, just take some time and share some of your background with our audience.
Sure. Well, my background mostly stems from marketing and digital marketing, but I have transitioned over the year and I am a business and life strategist. So what is that? Essentially, I'm dedicated to helping people master their mind, business, and life. So I offer online courses and trainings that help people build their empires and transform their lives in various ways, as well as one-on-one coaching program where you can work with me directly with, and I help with individuals, help them push past their boundaries and shift their mindset and really begin to live with intention. So it's not just focused on your life, it's focused on your business and life. And if you don't have a business, there's still a lot of tools that can just help the overall professional.
It's really great stuff, and particularly your podcast, I've really enjoyed, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But it seems like people that go to you are people whose tank has run dry.
You've got
stuff that is really, really helpful for them. So let's talk about mindful love, not just the book. So I want to hear about the book, but what is mindful love?
Mindful love is a practice that I started personally about 4 years ago. It began with me writing the same phrase, I am worthy, I am enough, over and over again until I finally believed myself. And then that turned into me writing 5 positive affirmations or thoughts of gratitude every day in a journal. So what I would do is I would write these little nuggets to myself in the morning before my day got crazy. You know, before I had the chance to complain or interact with someone who could potentially just drain that energy. So this morning's practice, I really have to get in and get aware in my thoughts, right? So I sit and I write. And as I become more aware of my thoughts and things in life that I appreciate and I typically overlook over a day, you just feel the sense of calming. So it's really about awareness. And it could be something as small as writing down morning hugs from my kids, or it could be something larger like a job that provides for me and my family. So not only that, but I write things that I need to remember and embody. So today, for an example, I wrote, not every day is perfect, but every day is needed. And that was just a reminder to myself from a lesson that I learned yesterday, because let's be real, wasn't the best day, but I did walk away with some new lessons that ultimately will contribute to my growth. In 2018, I took my favorite thought nuggets from all of my years of journaling and I compiled them into a book called Mindful Love, Bite-Sized Thought Nuggets to Fuel Your Life. I produced the book with zero intention of making any money off of it. I know it sounds crazy. Everyone looks at me like I have 10 heads when I say that, but I really just wanted to spread light and put something positive into the world. But, you know, much to my surprise, the book has sold really well. And because of it, so many people around the world have begun their own little mindful love practice each day. And I think that's pretty amazing.
I think it is too. And, you know, we know there's a little bit of a backstory to the book, which if you are interested, please go back to Lauren's podcast. What episode is it? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Oh, man. I think it's definitely in the 30s. It's 30, I want to say 31, 32. I wish I could. Yeah.
Yeah. You need to go and look at that because the story behind the story, I think even makes mindful love even
yeah,
more
I know the episode is called Purpose Over Perfect, so that helps. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, great episode. But go back, you definitely need to know the story beyond the story behind the story. So
lots of layers.
Well, Lauren, let's think about this for a minute. You obviously are energetic, you are bubbly, you are well traveled. So somebody like you, I wouldn't think would need this. So when did you realize you needed to be more mindful?
Well, I think in general, mindfulness can sound really cliche, right? So mindfulness for me has developed and changed of how I look at it and how I practice it, how I see it, and really even what I understand about it from the past couple years. So of course, my practice began when I was in my mid to late 20s. I just realized that my self-worth was lacking, and that was creating a ripple effect in numerous areas of my life. So I'm a mom, I'm a partner, a business owner. I could really just see, you know, my confidence not there. I had no self-compassion. I really didn't, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't love myself. I'm not sure at that point I really even liked myself. So repeating a mantra to myself helped me become more aware of the toxic thoughts that I was feeding myself over time. And a lot of that came from years of trauma, from bad relationships or just not being true to myself. And over the years, I've just become more mindful in virtually every area. So the other day I was actually driving and someone cut me off. And I used to get so mad when someone would do this. You know, I'd flip them the bird and let them ruin my day or at least the next 30 minutes of that drive. And now when it happens, instead of flicking them off, I wave at them and I smile. One, because most of the time my kids are watching me and they're watching my reactions and they're learning from it. And two, it really catches the other driver off guard. They think you're going to be rude to them. Like, they're expecting the finger, right? But if you smile and wave, it confuses the crap out of them. It also doesn't piss them off further. Like, we don't know what that person's day has been. Like, it could have just been an accident. You know, maybe they were distracted. Their kids were being crazy in the backseat. We don't know. But they just got being avoided, being flicked off. And as a bonus, me smiling and waving, it actually has a positive reaction on my brain, not a negative one. So that situation is less likely then to bother me after it happens. And, you know, I'm not perfect at this at all. I'm still working on it every day because mindfulness really is a practice that you have to work at. But being able to know just how to control my thoughts, which then controls my emotions, it's been a game changer.
Well, yeah, certainly it sounds like on just a normal thing like driving, it's going to be important. But you also are a business owner and you're a business advisor and coach. So how has mindfulness helped you professionally?
Whew, I think that's a loaded question. So first of all, becoming more mindful really made me aware that my reaction is an action that I own. No one else can control my actions or reactions except for myself. That was probably my number one lesson. So, like, where does this come into play with business? In basically every situation. So I'm sure you and the listeners have all received that email where it just really gets under your skin. You know, it just lights you up and you want to reply with your sassy pants on, bring in all the attitude, all the facts, or even just, you know, tell that person off and drop some harsh truth bombs. That's what you really want to do, right? Your emotions are high. And that is the key time to walk away. So click out of your email, go for a walk, listen to some music that calms you down, go to lunch, work on something else, whatever it might be. Just don't respond to that email yet. Because when you walk away, you're going to start thinking to yourself, what in that email actually triggered me? Like, what is triggering me? And then how can I deal with that professionally? Sometimes we get ourselves so worked up over something and it doesn't actually deserve that reaction that we're giving it. Like, it's not really that big of a deal. So wait until you've calmed down and then reply. And I guarantee that the response you give from the tone to the overall language is going to be extremely different. So in other scenarios, you know, I've had people approach me with projects that I just wasn't sure about. So instead of saying yes or no immediately, I learned that it's okay to take time. So whether that's taking time to think about it, time to process it, or just like really being sure, you know, if something wasn't sitting right with me, I had to become more mindful about what wasn't feeling right. So was it the client themselves? If so, that's a really good key indicator to me to say no. Because if I'm not vibing with them right now at the beginning of a project, there is no way I'm probably going to be vibing with them 6 months from now. And you can just imagine the energy suck that that would probably be. But if I wasn't liking the project, or was I just not understanding the project and I needed to become more clear about a few things before I could commit. So thinking it through, don't be quick to react. If something forces your reaction right on the spot, just go with your gut instinct, even if the logic doesn't support it. And I'm sure a lot of people aren't going to say that, but mindfulness has really taught me to just trust my gut. And in business, that has yet to steer me the wrong way.
And now let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Attention, HR professionals and conference planners. Are you looking for a great speaker for your upcoming meetings or conference? Better contact Mac. Do you need someone who can relate to your audience and deliver a top-notch presentation? Better contact Mac. Are you trying to find a speaker who can both educate and entertain? Better contact Mac. Mac Monroe, the Boss Builder, is a sought-after keynote speaker and presenter who would love to present at your next meeting. His most popular topics are how to be a great boss for audiences of managers and executives, how to gain a seat at the table for HR professionals, and how to avoid ending up for all employees. Mac is a phenomenal storyteller, and his talks are lively, entertaining, and loaded with actionable strategies that will enable your attendees to make immediate positive changes. To get more information and book Mac to speak at your next conference or meeting, go online to bettercontactmac.com or call us at 931-221-2988. And now, back to the show.
Well, you know, I don't know if, even if my audience has a solid definition of what mindfulness is, but it just seems like it's a lot of thinking about what you're thinking about.
And yeah, that's just awareness, being aware to yourself. Yeah.
Well, let me run a scenario by you, and I'm going to ask you how mindfulness could help this person. Let's say that we'll call this person Sally. Sally is 30 years old. She is the mother of two. She works in an organization where she is overworked, she's overwhelmed, she's underappreciated. There's a steady line of people outside of her door trying to come in and complain about things. She gets a call and she's being told you need to start planning some events to motivate the employees. And that is followed by a call shortly after saying you need to start cracking down on these lazy employees. She has a long commute in the morning, and on the way home, she's exhausted mentally and physically and emotionally. She walks in the door. Her husband is sitting on a chair in front of the TV with a bag of chips and a beer. And he says, "What's for dinner?" Sally is an HR professional. So how could Sally embrace mindfulness and use it to keep herself from strangling the man in the chair and telling her boss off?
Well, I think strangling the man in the chair is probably what every woman wants to go to. And that's really because your partner is going to get the brunt of all your bad sides, right? Like, you're not going to typically go off on your coworker or your kids. You're going to save it for your spouse or partner. So Sally, I feel you there. I have two kids, but you know, HR professionals, they have a hard job. There's no doubt about that. And from what you just described, it requires many tasks that you're dealing with all at once on top of your life tasks. So people themselves, because they're dealing with people one-on-one, they can just drain your energy. So my first tip to Sally would be, you know, eliminate your multitasking. You're doing way too much right now. I know your job is requiring a lot, but attention is key in productivity and performance. So if you find yourself with 12 browser tabs open and you're switching in between so many projects, just stop. You know, close them all. Except for the ones that you need to focus on that project. If you are doing something in the moment and someone comes into your office, step into it and say, "Hey, I can't even focus on that right now. I understand it deserves my attention. Can you give me 30 minutes until I'm finished completing this?" You know, it's okay to ask someone for more time and tell them where you're standing. You just have to be upfront. I know it surprises most people to know that my phone, for the most part, is kept on silent all day, and I don't have any push notifications on my social media apps. And Mac, I know that you've become more mindful of your time and you've deleted social media apps off of your phone. So, you know, when I'm consistently getting notifications from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, emails, texts, I get nothing done in a day. So being more mindful to where your time is going and taking back control of little pieces of it is really good. So, you know, if Sally is saying, "I don't have any time for myself," and she has an hour commute, well, what are you doing in that hour commute? Are you listening to a podcast like this that's going to install little tidbits that's going to help you, you know, excel in life? Are you listening, taking that time of silence and just enjoying the silence? I think so many times parents with younger kids especially just need 5 minutes to themselves in their mind. You know, enjoy the silence. Or is it a playlist? Are you finally listening to that hardcore rap that you actually like to listen to, but you can't with your kids in the car because it drops way too many F-bombs? Blast it. Just go ahead and do it. Whatever is making you feel good, you have to get into that moment. Another tip is, you know, to really be aware of your breaks. I know some offices are set up so you have to take a certain break at a certain time every day. That's one reason I actually had to get out of the office space. But if your office is a little bit more lax and you can take breaks when you want, just set alarms to remind yourself to do so. And even if that's once every 45 minutes, you just stand up from your desk and you stretch a little bit, you move around, and then you sit down, and then you become aware of your posture when you sit down. Or if you're just sitting at your desk and you're typing an email, become really aware of what we do as humans a lot. We don't even realize it, is we clench our jaws. So So just in a sitting position, we'll be clenching our jaws. And then like we realize our entire face is tense. Relax your face, like be mindful to just how your body language is in that moment. You know, and then sometimes in those, when I sit back down and I become more mindful, I stood up, had a quick little break, a little brain break. I realize, oh, hey, I could use some water, because there's so many times that we get busy in work and then 3 hours have gone by and we haven't even had a drink. So, you know, it's becoming more mindful to how we're interacting every day. And if you come across that difficult employee, which you're going to have, right? This is the workplace. There's at least going to be one bad egg or someone who's having a bad day, or, you know, somebody might just have to be fired. The best thing to do is be mindful. Again, it's awareness to yourself. Be mindful of your tone, your body language, your words. You're setting the tone for that example. So you may not be responsible for them, but you are responsible for yourself. And when you're more mindful of how you're reacting, you're less likely to go back at that to look back at that situation and sing what my mom likes to call your shoulda, coulda, would've. You know, like, I should have handled it this way. I could have said this. If I would have only whatever. So when you're just listening and being more aware and present in the situation, you're not going to have those shoulda, coulda, would've. And when Sally gets home in the afternoon and she has had the worst day, it's important to know, like, yeah, you might want to strangle your husband because he's had dinner ready. But Sally, what did you do to communicate to your husband about your day? Did you send him a text home and say, I've had the worst day. Can you have dinner ready? Mm. You know, you can't always assume that someone just knows how your day was or that they're going to have something ready. I think we already know as male and females, we're not mind readers. You know, females are always saying, oh, if men only knew, and men are always saying, oh, I'm not a mind reader. That's true. No, we can't read each other's minds, but you have to take that ownership of, oh, he wants me to make dinner. I just worked all day. Well, did he work all day too? Yeah. Did he have a bad day? Maybe not. Did you ask him to make dinner? Like, there's all these assumptions that we put on ourselves that we need to become more aware of what we're doing and what we're not doing. So Sally, ask your husband to make dinner, or stop by the grocery store if you don't feel like making it and you know he probably didn't do it, and just grab a rotisserie chicken, you know, already made for you. Bring it home. Stress-free dinner. So sometimes it's also about picking your battles and knowing what's worth walking away from and starting an argument, and what's just ready to let go and move on from.
Well, those are great tips. And, you know, the thing that I've seen with the community that listens to our podcast is that they're pulled on all day by everyone. I've gone to some of my client companies and I say, you know, where's so-and-so, the HR person? And I would say 100% of the time I see a closed door, and either the person's in there talking to somebody or they're simply hiding in there. So, you know, there's probably a balance between taking care of yourself and taking care of others, but how do you think taking care of yourself reflects back to the way that you might be able to take care of others?
Well, Mac, actually, your podcast opens the perfect way. So secure your mask before assisting others, right? When you're on a plane, that's it. That's it. You've just nailed it in that one sentence. Because if a plane is going down and you don't put your mask on first, and then you pass out from a lack of oxygen, what good are you going to do yourself or anyone else around you? So put yours on first, and then you got to take care of yourself first and then others. And I know personally as a mom, it's this like unwritten rule or something that moms have to put everyone else first, their kids, their partner, their jobs. And it's almost as if we, and especially in America society, has put this, you know, unspoken rule of taking care of yourself is selfish. Now I say, screw that. Taking care of yourself is the most important thing. I know, you know, I'm a better business owner after I've taken a vacation and I can come back to my business with more energy. I know I'm a better mom when I've had 5 minutes to myself to just decompress, whether that's just sitting in my car with like a Reese's cup and no one else, I don't have to share, you know, and it's just quiet. that works. Because otherwise, I'm just thrown into cooking dinner, helping with homework, or even having to put out a fight. I need that time of quiet to decompress. And I know I'm a better partner when I can love someone the way I should be loved because I'm loving myself that way too. So taking care of yourself absolutely goes back to the way that you can take care of others. And you're showing up for a job every day and, you know, you're not feeling appreciated and you're feeling run down and you don't like your coworkers. How is that going to reflect of you as a professional? It's going to come out. But if you are, you know, you love your job and you, everything is going right in your world, you're going to come to work and you're going to be whistling and singing a happy tune and everyone's going to think you're, you know, Miss Cheery Sunshine, because ultimately, what's happening in your personal life as well is you're taking care of yourself and you're loving yourself and you're liking yourself.
I think too, if you show up that way, people feed off of whatever, well, now I sound like you, Lauren. I think people feed off your energy and give you what you're, you know, they give you back what you're giving out. And so you come in with a mean look on your face, they'll say, oh, look, here we go again. And they'll feed you that. It just becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So everything I've heard so far is mindfulness really supplemented by ownership. And I think those are really powerful. So the last question I want to ask you, and we've talked a little bit about it, but let's talk about boundaries. There has to be some boundaries, and those are balanced between, you know, service and boundaries, customer interaction and boundaries, motherhood, parenthood, spousehood and boundaries. So tell us about boundaries and what should we do to get started with this?
So I actually wrote a really great blog on this. It's gotten a lot of traction. That's on my personal website, laurensmithbiz.com. But because it's gotten so much traction, it just proves to me how important personal boundaries are. I have not always had them in my life. And the thing is, they're always shifting and shaping, you know, shifting and shaping, you know, depending on who I am in that moment of time. Who I was 15 years ago is not who I am now. Who I'm going to be in 15 years, hopefully, is not the person I am now. I want to get better. So personal boundaries extend into so many areas of our life. There's physical, emotional, mental, sexual, spiritual, material. And the reason that we want to set them is to ultimately have safe and healthy relationships, not only with yourself, but also with others. Brené Brown has an amazing definition of this in her book, Rising Strong. I highly suggest reading that book. But she defines boundaries as simply our list of what's okay and what's not okay. Right to the point. And a big one in the workplace that I know is oversharing. So sharing parts of your life with your coworkers is one thing, but oversharing just means that you don't have any boundaries set in place. And oversharing too many details with people, with the wrong people especially, exposes you to potential hurt or manipulation. Another one that we've covered is knowing when to respond and when to walk away, because not everything needs a response, right? You need to know when to stop giving your time or energy or attention to a situation or person that really doesn't, you know, deserve it. So I would encourage the listeners to think about the boundaries that they have in their life and, again, become aware of them and be sure that when a situation arises, you're just being mindful of your boundaries and honoring them. I had a mentor this week. I'm a solopreneur, right? So like I'm mostly working alone. And I was telling her that sometimes people overstep these boundaries with me. And I have learned to say no very, very well. That used to be a struggle for me. I was such a yes person. Yeah, I'll take that on. Yeah, sure. Well, I can say no now, but where I wiggle on my no line is if I empathize with someone, if they have a situation, oh, but Lauren, I'm a new business owner. If you could just help me, it pulls at my heartstrings and then I cave. So what she gave me a really good task to do was because I don't really have a quote unquote business partner to go off on, right? So what I did was I wrote a list of my boundaries in business. And what I am willing to work on and what I am not willing to work on. And if a client comes to me or whoever comes to me and I've said no numerous times and I then feel like, okay, am I being conned into something that I don't really need to do? Again, I need to take that time and step back from the situation. I'm now ongoing going to tell them I need to consult with my business partner. Mm. Now, you and I know I don't have a business partner, but my new business partner is that list that I made. And I'm going to go through that list and I'm going to say, oh, yep, checks that box. Nope, nope, nope. And then after I've made a decision, I've consulted with my business partner. We don't feel that this is a good idea ongoing. Or yeah, we've consulted ongoing. And if someone says, oh, who's your business partner? It's a silent partner. Right? Like it doesn't matter who my business partner is, but I've now created these boundaries within my business. And sometimes people always feel like you have to have this excuse to back it up. And for me, when it pulls my empathy strings, I definitely feel like I have to have an excuse. Sometimes I'm like, nope, you don't deserve my excuse. Other times, I think it's more of an awareness thing for me of what makes me feel comfortable. So if I'm able to go back to something hard that I've set in place, then it's like, okay, my business partner, aka the other side of me, agrees with my decision.
This is, wow, that's powerful. I'm just thinking that so many of our listeners happen to be not solopreneurs, but they're sole practitioners. They are HR for the entire company. And what an awesome thing to do to say, you know, let me check with my colleague. And the colleague would be those list of no. Now, obviously, there's going to be a difference because there's responsibilities you're paid to take care of. But but it sounds like when your personal thing, like, you know, I really don't have to help you, but my heart tells me I should. Then we go back to the tough partner. This is really good stuff. Wow.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
I'm typically good cop, and it's really hard for me to be bad cop. So I have to have my bad cop written in black and white to keep me in balance.
I love it. What a great suggestion. Well, it sounds like recently bad cop has made you narrow down the focus of what you do. And so on that note, Lauren, first of all, tell us how to get a hold of you, how to buy your book, Mindful Love, and more importantly, how to find out about what you're doing and how you can help my audience. Because after our talk, and I've known you for a while, I'm convinced you really can. So tell us where we go to get all this stuff and what it is.
Yeah, so Max saying that because I sent out an email, I guess it was yesterday, to everyone on my contact list being very clear about what services I'm doing and what I'm not doing. So, and that was part of setting my boundaries and not letting people go. So I am a host of a podcast, Master Your Mind, Business, and Life. We have a new episode every Wednesday. I invite you to come listen to it. It streams on all of your favorite podcast apps, but it's also on mindbizlife.com. This podcast features experts and guests from all over the globe, and they are changing, shifting, impacting, and educating the world. Some episodes are geared towards things like mindfulness and meditation and neuroscience. Other things are growing your business. Mac, you've been on there. We've discussed some good bosses, bad bosses, some HR things, and then other topics within the workplace. And then some are all about spirituality, relationships, and personal development. So there's really something for everyone in there. I really enjoy meeting with these people and just learn. There has not been an episode I've walked away from that I haven't learned or grown in some way. So I also hope that's true for anyone who tunes in. But you can find me also on laurensmithbiz.com, and I'm everywhere on social media, the same thing, laurensmithbiz. Right now on my website, there's three main offerings that you're going to find. So first, I just launched what's called the Academy. It's still growing. Of course, it's like a new thing I'm stepping into. But I've divided it into three different categories: Master Your Mind, Master Your Business, Master Your Life. So in each one of those categories, you're going to find something for you. So if it's Master Your Mind, you might find things like journaling prompts. Master Your Business, I did digital marketing for, you know, 10 years. So there may be social media content templates or things to help you grow your business. And Master Your Life, I'm going to have masterclasses with experts. A lot of them were podcast guests that people wanted more information on. So we'll be tackling more conversations and on these topics in depth, and it'll be in a live setting. So the audience can come join us live in this conversation in a webinar type setting, ask questions, go more in depth. So those are going to be launching late this summer. And I'm really excited about those. So laurensmithbiz.com is where you can find the academy. And then if you want to work with me one-on-one, I do offer a one-on-one coaching program as well. And then you'll also find all of my information on the podcast on my website.
Excellent. Yeah, great resources there. And I would highly encourage you to seek out Lauren and work with her. She's a great person. Lauren, thank you so much for taking time on this busy day to share with our guests. We are grateful for all of the things you shared and some of the tools and techniques, and we look forward to putting them into use.
Mac, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And, as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.